Chapter 35. The following evening, Nia went to White's. Earlier in the day, she'd seen Richie in the garden next door and guessed he'd been invited to Ian and Lucy's for lunch. She remembered her lunch with them the day after she arrived. It seemed such a long time ago now. As Nia approached White's, she thought how interesting it was that the tradition of the Sunday night meetings at White's had been maintained despite everything that had happened. In fact, it was quite strange the way they went through the same ritual, buying drinks, chatting about the weather, the number of tourists, and how business was going. Ian shared his news about the TV programme that he and Lucy would be going up to London to talk about the following week. He was very excited, but Nia noticed he was avoiding eye contact with her. Elvira, however, patted her knee to get her attention.
"I'm sorry, but I haven't sent you an invitation to the wedding, and it's only 3 weeks away."
She made an excited grimace.
"God, 3 weeks left."
"I hope it's all going brilliantly, and please don't worry about an invitation. I wasn't expecting one."
"Oh, you must come. It's fine, actually. I had a cancellation for the sit-down. It would be lovely for you to come. That is, if you are still on the island, of course."
"Thank you very much, then. I'd love to come."
"I'll get you a proper invite. We start at the church at 11 and then on to a hotel for the wedding breakfast. That will all be quite small. The big do will be here in the evening."
"Thank you. I'll look forward to it." There was an air of things wrapping up when Joe clinked the side of his glass with a spoon.
"I should have mentioned this before, but next Saturday my parents are throwing a party for me at the house. If you're free, do pop in. It starts about 7. There'll be music and a buffet. Wear your posh gear."
He handed out invitations, which were gilt-edged, and clearly, however much Joe might be trying to downplay this, Nia could see this was a big event for his parents.
"Anyway, do come along if you can," he said, and left. "Right, all set for a swim later?"
Ian asked Richie, who nodded in response.
"Nia came with me last night. We had a good time, didn't we?"
He glanced at Nia.
"It was lovely," she replied. "So warm and a perfect evening."
"I showed Nia the gym and all those automatic lights. Nia pointed out that we would have been able to see each other when we were there the night poor Ruby died. I had to say I was rather taken up with my swimming. I obviously wasn't watching your way all the time, in the same way you wouldn't have been watching me. I guess it would be easy to miss one of us taking a break."
Nia frowned. She had a feeling Ian was playing some kind of game with Richie, but wasn't sure what was going on. Richie looked equally confused, but didn't reply.
"I need to get off," said Ethan, completely oblivious to what was going on. "I'll see you at the centre, Jade," he said, and left.
It seemed to signal the end of the get-together. Nia watched Elvira leave and go straight to her car. If she kept to her usual routine, she would be at the home for an hour, and that meant Nia had time to walk Romeo and settle him down. As she drove to the nursing home, she could see dark clouds starting to gather across the sky. She had planned things out this time. The nursing home was close to a church, slightly up on a hill. Nia parked there and walked into the churchyard. Fortunately, all the services had finished. There was no one about. There was a seat, though, which had a perfect view of the car park at the nursing home, and there was still enough light for her to look down and see Elvira's car. The seat also had a view of the cliff tops and sea beyond, and Nia took time to take in the view as she waited. Checking her watch, she saw the hour was coming to an end, and it was darker now, the car's silhouettes. She noticed a car arrive, drive in, but it parked at the far end, away from the entrance. She saw the headlights switch off, but no one left the car. Maybe someone had come to collect a visitor, although they were making the person walk a fair way across what was a pretty empty car park. On the hour, she saw the front door open and the security light lit up Elvira. Nia went quickly to her car and waited. It wasn't long before she saw Elvira's car leaving the car park, and Nia started her engine. As she followed Elvira, she was aware of a car coming out from the home behind her and driving her way. The road was the main route to Newport. It probably meant nothing. The names of the villages flashed past, Limeston, Shorewell, and then they were driving inland, past fields, some empty, some with sheep. They approached Bochum. Nia was aware of more houses now, and a bit further on they reached the village of Carisbrook. There were street lights, and up on the hill she could see Carisbrook Castle, where Charles I had been held prisoner. They drove through the village to a roundabout, and she could see Elvira slowing down. Fortunately, a car had joined them and was between Nia's and Elvira's, which should ensure Elvira didn't see her if she looked in her mirror. However, as she slowed down and then came to a halt, Nia checked her own mirror. She noted that the same car that had followed her out of the nursing home was still behind her. She was about to put this down to coincidence until the street light settled on the face of the driver. Their eyes met, and she wasn't sure who was more shocked, her or Ethan. What was he doing here? He attempted a casual wave. She gave a twisted smile back, and then noticed the traffic was moving. Elvira turned right, and Nia followed, but she noticed that Ethan went straight ahead. As she drove, Nia was thinking about Ethan. He must have spent a short time at the rescue centre, but not gone on to play poker at the hotel. Why follow Elvira, then? He must be as suspicious as she was about Elvira's movements on a Sunday evening. The obvious question was, why didn't he just ask her? Why all the secrecy? As Nia followed Elvira through the town centre, she could sense the Isle of Wight festival was still in full swing. At the roundabout, there were large lit-up signs warning of road closures, diversions and delays. Nia followed Elvira on the route signposted to Ryde. They continued to drive through Wootton and Binstead. This was taking a lot longer than Nia had anticipated. Finally, they arrived at Ryde, and Nia could see the church spires reaching into the black sky. Nia followed Elvira down the steep high street, past small clusters of smokers outside the pubs. Ahead of her was the sea. Nia had thought for a moment they were going to drive down the pier, thinking Elvira might be catching the fast catamaran to the mainland. However, Elvira continued along the esplanade until she reached the hovercraft terminal. When she drove into the car park, which the terminal shared with the ice skating and bowling rinks. Elvira parked, and Nia parked some distance away in the spacious car park. Then she followed Elvira, keeping in the shadows. The car park didn't feel a safe place. On one side, a large building loomed, and she could hear the sea crashing into the wall to her right. Nia stayed as close as she could to Elvira. What was she going to do if Elvira boarded the hovercraft? But the hovercraft station was closed. What was Elvira doing here? Elvira had remained outside the building until she saw a man walking down the road from the direction of the pier. Nia could easily make out his features. It was Elvira's ex, Hugo. She'd seen him that night at the Red Jet terminal and had been told who he was when shown his photograph at Elvira's hen party. He must have come over on the catamaran and walked along the pier. Nia was horrified. What was Elvira doing, having secret liaisons with her ex? Nia had assumed they would go back to the car, but instead they began walking along the seafront. Nia followed. She had not been to Ryde before, and it felt much bigger and busier than Yarmouth. There were fish and chip shops, hotels and restaurants opposite a large fun fair on the beach side. Past this was a large expanse of sand that seemed to stretch on for miles. The tide was out and she could make out groups of young people and dog walkers. Nia suddenly noticed that Elvira and Hugo, who had remained on the concrete esplanade, had stopped and were sitting down on a bench. She was very close to them now, but Elvira appeared engrossed in their conversation. Nia held back in time to see Elvira hand a small package to Hugo before they stood up. To Nia's horror, they began walking towards her. Nia was trapped. She turned and started walking quickly away from them, back in the direction of the terminal, but she was aware of their footsteps close behind. She pulled her coat around her and was nearly running now. Back at the terminal, she headed straight to her car and, without looking back, got in. She was breathing fast from nerves as much as the run. What a mess! She was hopeless at this detective game. Nia saw Elvira heading to her own car alone. Presumably, Hugo was going back to catch the catamaran off Ryde Pierhead. It seemed a lot of fuss for such a brief encounter. Maybe it had all been about that parcel, but what would Elvira be giving to Hugo? Nia started to drive home, and when she finally parked her car and got into the house, she saw it was gone 11. She'd been out a long time. Romeo was waiting, and so she took him out for a quick walk down the pier. As they walked along, Nia thought about the evening. What had been in that parcel Elvira gave to Hugo? Could it have been cash? Was she helping Hugo because she was still in love with him? A terrible thought crossed Nia's mind. Was it possible Elvira had been planning to marry Ethan simply for his money? Nia paused as Romeo sniffed the bench on the pier and looked over at the beach. In the darkness, she could make out patches of shingle, hear the waves crashing onto the shore, and she thought about Ruby. She'd been to talk to Elvira's mother. She'd listened to Elvira pour her heart out on the helpline. From Elvira's point of view, Ruby knew far too much. How far would Elvira go to ensure Ruby kept silent?